But when the coyote who is bringing Evelyn from Guatemala up through Mexico, Berto Cabrera says, brings all these people who he is, who's guiding through across the border to pray.
Yeah,
and he says, we are pilgrims in a church without borders. Just the image of a coyote gathering together with everyone to pray really brought a smile to my face.
I didn't invent it. I saw it.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. And that's, in this case, the coyote was linked somehow to the evangelicals. So there's a whole...
What do you mean saw it?
Well, I didn't see it personally. I saw it in a video mm-hmm. that someone had taken. And the coyote had gathered his group, and they were all praying. He gives them the instructions, because they have to cross Mexico. And he says to them, from now on, you are all Mexican. So he tells them the words that they cannot say, the Guatemalan voz, for example, you cannot say in Mexico, how you have to treat the authority. And because Evelyn Ortega is so, he thinks, so dumb that she will not learn how to pass for a Mexican, he says, you will be mute, and so you don't speak. I'm taking you to a nun school where they treat the deaf and the mute. All that, those stories, I don't have to make them up. They are real. There's a book that I totally recommend, and I should have read it before I wrote my book, but I didn't know it existed. It's a book by Luis Alberto Urrea, and it's called The Devil's Highway, in which it tells the story of 14 people who died in the desert of thirst and heat, but mostly all the infrastructure that sustains the smuggling of human beings, the trafficking of human beings. Why people leave? Because nobody wants to leave what is familiar to them unless they are desperate. And why? And who are the people who make it possible? The crime organization that sustains all this.
And though you didn't write this in the age of Trump, you start all your books on January 8th. You're now traveling in the age of Trump as you talk about the book. And, of course, you've lived here. Your feelings today, I was thinking about you describing September 11th in Chile as your country changed. Do you see any similarities?
No. I see the fascist forces have been in this country and in my country always, because Trump doesn't invent anything. He picks up what is already there. Pinochet would not have been possible for 17 years without the support of a third of the population that thought that it was much better to live under a repressive government and don't have any urban crime than have democracy and have free will and all the things that we take for granted. When I came to this country 30 years ago, I told Willie, who was then the man I loved, I said, I'm scared. This country has this fascist element that I'm so scared of. I ran away from that. And he said, are you crazy? This is the cradle of democracy. And I said, yeah, but people have this sense that they are superior, that they can teach the world how to live, how to govern themselves. Half the population is armed. There's the idea of white supremacy, a latent fascination with violence. We don't want violence in our lives, but we are fascinated with the violence of football, of war, of the video games, of movies. We want to live it vicariously. And then when it happens, like in the church a few days ago, then we are horrified. But our kids grow up with it.
We're going to do part two and post online at democracynow.org. Isabel Allende, the great writer, has written a new book. It's called In the Midst of Winter. Happy birthday to John Hamilton. I'm Amy Goodman with Juan Gonzalez. Thanks so much for joining me. No, can we?
Come on, Jamie. Let's go to the store.
Ma'am?
What happened? Where is my daughter? Jamie?
I'm okay, Mommy.
It's a good thing you folks were wearing your safety belts.
Injury will kill 150,000 Americans in 1995. Don't become a statistic. Buckle up. This message brought to you by your partners in emergency care, University Hospital at Stony Brook.
Smoking kills thousands of New Yorkers each and every year. If you smoke, try to kick the habit now. Many New Yorkers have found that with the New York Smokers Quit Line, it has been easier for them to quit than other methods they have tried in the past. If you want to improve your health for the rest of your life, call 1-866-NY-QUITS or log on to www.nysmokefree.com. To start a better life, let the New York Smokers Quit Line help you today.
Yeah, there's a lot of good reasons to quit. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook.
I quit!
Yeah, we all quit. Be a quitter. There's circumstances to be a quitter. Hey, it's exactly 6:03 on a Tuesday evening, a rainy Tuesday evening. That can mean only one thing. That means it's time for Off the Wall. A little bit of a difficulty there with our theme song. Stand by for Off the Wall. It's just like a game cartridge. You just blow the dust and smudges right off. Thanks for listening.
This never happens when I play the theme.
No, I mean, I didn't do anything adverse to it. Anyway... It's Radiothon season at Stony Brook, and we're celebrating by accepting your donations. So please, if you can, give a call and support the station. We're going to try once more with the beginning of Off the Wall. Yes. All right. That is... had some good drumming. All right.
Good drumming, yes.
Hi, everyone. You're listening to Off the Wall, as we said. Sorry for the interesting start. I'm Kyle, and I'm engineering.
I'm Emmanuel. I'm relaxing.
Yeah, I'm joined by Emmanuel. He's right here, and he's relaxing, looking quite comfortable on this rainy autumn first week of November.
I like it's raw outside.
It's raw.
It's
yeah.
a raw day.
The leaves, they're getting really, oh yeah, it's they're not even colors anymore. They're starting to just disintegrate, really, before your eyes. It's a magical time of year.
And we're back. We were off last week because of the Zapathon on Halloween, which is a tradition here at WUSB, by the way. And we took advantage of the holiday and just had fun ourselves. And remember 2 weeks ago, I was sick, and right after that, I lost my voice. Remember, I lost my voice for a few days. And it worked out really well because we were preempted the week afterwards here on Off the Wall and also on Off the Hook because of fundraising over there. So I didn't have to talk at all. And it was kind of weird because I was not talking. You enjoyed it a lot, I know, but in fact, a lot of people enjoyed it. But I was able to communicate, you know, using motions and sometimes having to write things down. It's the second time in my life I've had laryngitis. I had laryngitis when I was a kid. I think I had really bad laryngitis then. I couldn't even make any sound. This time, though, it started. If you listen to the end of the last show, you'll hear my voice cracking when I'm talking to a listener.
Just once. I think once.
Yeah, but then it happened a lot afterwards. And the whole next day, I sounded, you know, like I was going through puberty. You know, the guy with the French fries on The Simpsons.
Was you like fries with that,
yeah,
sir?
That's what I sounded like all day long. Until I stopped talking altogether, and that was better for everybody.
You didn't warn me either. You just started not talking.
Well, I figured...
I had to pick up on what exactly you were doing.
You'd welcome the change. And then, you know, I just got kind of hoarse. And, you know, I learned a lot about this, because you look it up on the internet. And I learned that if you whisper, for some reason, if you whisper, it's harder on your vocal cords than if you shout. Go figure. If you whisper, that is strains your vocal cords more. Why? Why would that strain your vocal cords?
I guess the rasp. There's a bit of a raspy. You're kind of constricting and using air instead of actually vibrating your vocal cords. Normally,
I had no idea. Wow. I mean, it doesn't even feel like I'm doing anything.
Know. Yeah, somebody should do a study.
Someone should do a study.
There should be a study.
Well,
you sound great.
Thank you. I feel better. And it's amazing, too, because I went through all these phases. It started with a sore throat. Then it turned into just this achiness. Then the laryngitis came. And then, you have all this coughing that comes with it. And then you wonder, is this ever going to end? What's going on here? You know, you have a little bit of difficulty swallowing. And then one day, you wake up and you just feel better.
Yeah.
And when you feel better, you just have all this energy. And that's, it almost makes getting sick worthwhile.
Yeah, to know you can get through it. And, well, it's that great feeling, that ability to just kick it. Mm-hmm. And lo and behold, you've been taking care of yourself, and your body rewards you with being well again.
Yes, yes. So we are well. We're back. A lot's been going on in the last couple of weeks, and we're going to try and cover as much as we possibly can.
Suffice to say, people have been hard at work. There's been a lot of progress on investigations, and I'm sure we'll cover more of that.
Mm-hmm.
But we haven't been as involved. It wasn't us.
It wasn't. What wasn't us?
Well, I don't know enough about some of these stories. I'm still finding out about some of the stuff that was revealed over the weekend, and of course the FBI last week was doing a lot of things with some of the members of the administration. Even the cabinet is coming into question now.
You can't keep up with it all.
Yeah, I don't mean to. I presume this is kind of where we're going to start. It's what a lot of people are talking about. I don't. What do you say? Sarcastic what? Kyle what? Just walked in.
Sarcastic Kyle. Oh my God.
Surprise, surprise, everybody. They're a bunch of criminals, a bunch of crooks, a bunch of...
That's sarcastic, Kyle?
Scuzzy.
That's realist, Kyle. That's... No. Sarcasm is a very hard thing to pull off these days.
Okay, he's left. All right.
You need the door opening and closing sound effect. If you want that to be believable.
We don't have a soundboard for that. No. But, yeah. What do you say? Well, we've been saying it for 2 years, maybe less. I don't know. It's...
Well, okay, let's try and sum up some of the things that have happened in the last couple of weeks. We had this visitor come by in our solar system. Did you hear about this? A strange object that zoomed by. It was an interstellar space object. This actually happened. I think it's pretty cool. Whenever you hear a strange moving object coming from astronomers, pay attention because... That's some interesting material right there. Telescopes, astronomers around the world made similar observations, noticing this strange object that was approaching. You know, there's like a plane in the solar system. All the planets pretty much revolve around the same plane, kind of like horizontal. You know, planets don't revolve around the sun vertically. They all pretty much. I'm not how they agreed to do that, but that's how it works.
Less like what you would imagine an atom, where the orbits of various electrons and protons and all that stuff, they have kind of a chaotic orbit that goes all over the place. Or like satellites, they go tend to travel all over the place. Or the space station, that has an erratic orbit.
And this object came from up, or I believe this from a different angle, 90 degrees off, where you would expect like an asteroid or a comet to come from. This thing just came from a totally different area where things don't usually come from. It's going really, really fast on a trajectory that, this astronomer says, we can say with confidence this object is on its way out of the solar system and not coming back. Now, the object, as we know, is called A2017U1. It's less than a quarter mile long, and when it was entering the solar system, it was speeding along at 15 miles per second. Now, some people thought it might be a comet, but it didn't have a comet's distinctive tail. Astronomers calculated it passed closest to the sun on September 9th, passing just inside the orbit of Mercury. Now, the sun's gravity changed its course and speed, which sent it hurtling out of the star system. You'd think the sun would capture it and it would be revolving around the sun, but no, this thing was going so fast and was so determined that it just basically was pushed out in a different direction towards the constellation Pegasus. And it came closest to Earth on October 14th. It was only 15 million miles away from our planet. That might sound far away, but to put it in perspective, that's half the distance between Earth and Mars. So imagine this thing coming from who knows where, passing that close to our planet on its whirlwind tour of our solar system one time only before it heads out, never to be seen again. This kind of thing doesn't happen very often. You know, it's a big event. A visitor from another galaxy or another part of space, something that was not in our solar system and won't be again.
Bisecting it perpendicular.
Mm-hmm. And now it's moving away from us at 27 miles per second. Once it saw us, it doubled its speed, and it's getting the hell out of here. Astronomers aren't going to get many more chances to make detailed observations. I understand Hubble might have gotten a picture of it, but I'm not sure. But yeah, you know, imagine there could be all kinds of incredible secrets on something like that that only comes into our neighborhood, maybe once in a lifetime. Maybe it happens more often. Maybe we just haven't detected it.
Next time we'll be fast enough to explore it while it passes by.
Yes. I figured, you know, we'd start off with something that people probably haven't heard about. And unless you're paying attention to the scientific community, maybe you didn't hear about that. You probably heard about all the other things that are going on.
It's really interesting because I had heard something about an object or something passing by, but... That's distinct. That's mm-hmm. a lot different than maybe like an asteroid or, as you said, a comet.
I found the woman who got hit by space junk. Remember we talked about her a couple weeks ago?
Yeah.
Lottie Williams is her name. A defunct NASA satellite. This is a new default. A defunct NASA satellite has fallen to Earth now. But she was hit back in January of 1997. She's the only person in history, most likely, ever to get hit by a falling space junk. She and two friends were walking through a park in Tulsa, Oklahoma, about 3:30 in the morning, when they saw a huge fireball streaking from the skies. "We were stunned, in awe," she said. She thought she just witnessed a shooting star. It was beautiful. Less than 30 minutes later, that awe turned to fear. "We were still walking through the park." That's a big park. Wow. Okay, half hour walking through the park at 3:30 in the morning. I felt a tapping on my shoulder. With no one near her at the time, she started to run, thinking a stranger had appeared out of the shadows. Then she heard something hit the ground behind her. The weight was comparable to an empty soda can. It looked like a piece of fabric, except when you tap it, it sounded metallic. She was certain she found a piece of a shooting star. Excited by her discovery, she took the fallen piece of sky to her local library, where she was referred to the Astronomy Club, given her space rock theory, as well as the National Weather Service, who told her about a Delta II rocket that had re-entered the atmosphere the night before. And beginning to realize what had happened, she took the piece to the University of Tulsa, where Dr. Winton Cornell, an applied associate professor in the Department of Geosciences, studied it with an electron microscope and blasted it with X-rays. He said it had been partly melted and resembled fiberglass. It appeared to be the kind of material NASA used to insulate fuel tanks. So, she got hit with a piece of space debris, lived to tell about it. And you just have to wonder, you know, she was walking in the park at 3:30 in the morning. Not many people would take the time to look into what it was that just hit you on the shoulder and take it to a library, take it to a scientist, pursue it. Maybe there's a lot more people out there that have been hit by space debris, but just think they're being hit by regular debris.
Like a tree branch or something natural or terrestrial.
Mm-hmm. So I guess the lesson here is always investigate what's going on.
That's what happens, yeah. And look up and live, you know, be very careful.
Look up and live. Yeah, I guess that's good words to live by. Yeah, why not? Why not? So, space debris and visitors from interstellar space. That's pretty much everything we have from the skies. Okay, so we're going to go back down to Earth where we get depressed. All right, so had we been on a week ago, it would have been an interesting show because it was right as the details of that terrorist attack in New York City were unfolding. And it's I don't want to harp on this because this is something that I'm always talking about, but it just is insane to me how quickly we label certain things as terrorism and other things as tragedies. You know, and every time there's a mass shooting, we don't think of that as terrorism because there's no political motive attached to it. Now, then you have some screwed up idiot who just decides, yeah, you know what? I want to mow down some people with a truck and I'll just say I'm supportive of ISIS. And right away that elevates it to something defined as terrorism. Whereas you can have a guy planning out a murderous attack for months, maybe even years, doing so much more damage and having the might of the military behind him, and that's not terrorism. That's just a misunderstood guy who likes country music and snapped.
A domestic issue.
A domestic issue. And, you know, to me, one is not more than another. These are all horrible things. We need to stop giving preferential treatment to one type of horror over another. In other words, we should not be dismissing these things as something that cannot be prevented. We think terrorism can be prevented because every time something that we define as terrorism, i.e. Something from a foreign source, happens, those rare occasions when things like that happen, we have all these ideas and plans and strategies to change things. And we saw what Trump did right afterwards. He called for closing a lottery system that allowed a certain amount of immigrants to come from places where not many immigrants come from, as if that was the problem. You know, people get radicalized in all different ways, but the people who are coming here at the time they come in here are passing all kinds of background checks and are not a problem. It's what happens to people afterwards, or what happens to people in the years that they're living their lives here. That is what needs to be looked at. But it's just incredible to see how quickly he jumped on this, referring to the perpetrator as an animal and you know, all kinds of finger pointing. And then when something like Las Vegas or Texas happens, then the problem is got nothing to do with anything that we're doing here. You know, it's just a tragedy. It's too bad. You know, nothing changes. And you know, it's I'm almost at the point of giving up on this because people don't seem to want to push back. You know, I'm looking at the reactions many times from the people who are victims, and they don't seem to want to change anything. They don't seem to think something is seriously wrong when they can get mowed down by a crazy person so easily. You know, I mean, this has got nothing to do with the Second Amendment. Nothing to do with your right to carry whatever you want to carry. It has to do with how easy we make things for people that really should not have access. And if we just keep accepting that this kind of thing is inevitable, it's not a world I want to live in. It's not a world that is that is healthy in any way. And we need to seriously think of changes. And I don't see people doing that. You know, I hear our idiotic president saying things from overseas that make absolutely no sense, and I don't see enough people stepping up and saying, this is intolerable, we're not going to take it. So basically, we're voting for more of this. You know, we're saying, this is normal, this is our normal now. And massacres, yeah, you know what, that's the price of freedom, like what, Pat Robertson said that? It's nonsense, it's insane. And until we get past that insanity, nothing is going to change.
It's amazing that we consider the West the civilized world in light of that, because we're agreeing that this is how we're going to resolve conflicts. This is the adult, human, modern way to, and we're going to allow it to boot. One thing I noticed that was especially kind of sickening coming out of Texas was, I mean, or what an example, and what was really evident in what the people there were saying was just all of the appeals to God. And I realized this took place in a church, and just how but how much and of course even the president's statements where he was saying this isn't a guns issue, he doesn't think it's a guns issue, but the people affected there, that I heard, at least on some of the mainstream TV news or cable news, was just kind of glaring. Like, how can you just, you're not even really talking about the individual or the mental health thing. It's just all about this was God's plan and stuff. And it's just I have to wonder. In the same way as I wonder with ISIL or Daesh and stuff, like, okay, but do you hear yourself in light of, you know, in the context of greater society where not everyone, like, really believes that? And that's great, but that isn't relatable to everyone. And you're here, you're sitting here, you're affected. There's people that empathize and hate for what you've gone through. But yet there's a disconnect. They can't relate with your wistfulness for Jesus Christ and God in this moment, like in especially having lived through the year or last several years where this stuff's going on, whether, you know, whether it is strictly with guns or other domestic terrorist, quote, terrorist acts. But it's all terrorizing us, and I just think that you can't, as a community, I get that God is a big part of it, but, like, you know, it's hard for the rest of us to look at that and say, you know, okay, everything's under control, or it sounds like you guys, you know, are all set. I mean, we're looking at this as a pattern in our country with all communities.
It's an interesting parallel, and I'm loath to make this parallel between Trump and God, but look at all the things that God does, okay? God, basically, all the tragedies that happen, you know, the worst possible thing can happen to your community, your family. And there you are on TV praising God the next day instead of saying, damn it, God, why the hell did you do that to me?
Yeah.
You know, you're asking for our forgiveness. You'll be lucky if we forgive you for the things you do to us. You know, if you're going to hold God accountable, but God's never held accountable. God does all these messed up things to us with cyclones and hurricanes and tidal waves and God knows what else. And we just let it go every single time. We just say, yeah, God knows best. And we're going to go back to church and keep praying and praising you and all that kind of thing. No matter what you do to us, because you can do no wrong. And I see the same exact thing with Trump. He does all kinds of horrible things, and people just basically roll over and say more of this nonsense and idiocy, and you can do no wrong, even though it's, you know, you're making our lives into a living hell.
Yeah, it's a really passive way to live.
I mean, the way to not take any responsibility, just basically say, you know, it's not up to us. It's up to a higher power who can do no wrong, and we're willing to suffer for you. But you can change. You can make things better. And how do you speak to people like that?
It's a good question. It really kind of escaped me as I was watching, and as this, different communities deal with it in different ways. And this particular community being right there in Texas, I mean, of course, the national media and the pundits and the characterizations reinforce that this community is just going to talk about God all day and all their prayers and everybody on the national stage is going to back them up by talking about how this isn't about guns.
Okay, I have no problem talking about God. I respect religion. It might sound like I don't, but I do question things. Okay, and a lot of religious people don't like you to question things, but I do. But I also respect the tremendous strength and comfort that can come from religion, in a sane manner. So yeah, by all means, pray. Go to your temples, your churches, your mosques, whatever it is that you draw strength from. But at the same time, realize the power that you have as individuals to affect change and to make things better. And to say that this is not a guns issue, I mean, you have to be on some kind of drug that is not even on the chart. How is this not a gun issue? Obviously, this person should never have had access to guns, but he did. And the reason that he did was because of these incredibly lax laws that exist that allow you to easily get around them. And this is a textbook case of how somebody got around it. Should never have happened. Now, you also, interestingly enough, you have the situation that the NRA and gun people have been going nuts for. The good guy with a gun stopping things. And, you know, I'm thrilled this guy was there to be able to stop this person. But look at the guy who stopped him. This person knew what he was doing. He went, he got his gun out of the safe. His gun was locked in a safe, the way a responsible person does things. He was a target expert. He knew what he was doing. And when you have somebody who knows what they're doing with a weapon, you know, maybe like a well-trained policeman, you know, people like that, they can fix situations. But when you have a situation, and I know, you know, we haven't been on for 2 weeks, so we haven't caught up to all the mass shootings, but there was a mass shooting in Colorado in Walmart. Remember that one? And basically this guy opened fire in a Walmart and everybody pulled their guns out. And the cops had a horrible time trying to figure out, okay, who's a good guy, who's a bad guy? All these people have guns. We don't know what's going on. It slowed down the investigation, and it didn't help at all. Now, in this case, where you have a guy that knows what he's doing, that's exactly what you need. You need somebody who knows what they're doing. Now, does he need an automatic or semi-automatic weapon? Of course not. He doesn't need that, but he needs the skill. He needs the discipline. He needs the training, the common sense. And if you have that, you know, you've basically solved a lot of the problems. Why would you be against that? Why would you be against that level of expertise and responsibility being required for people to have access to these kinds of weapons? If you have that, then a lot of these problems go away. Think about the guy in New York City who drove the Home Depot truck. Basically, that person did not have real guns. He had fake guns. Now, you can say, oh, he could have gotten real guns. Yeah, but he didn't get real guns. Why do you think he didn't get real guns? Because it was a hassle. Because it was a pain. Because it would have required more steps. And lots of times, people who do these horrible things, do them on a moment's notice. They snap. They basically just they don't plan it out that far in advance. And if you have the slightest barrier, sometimes that barrier, many times that barrier, is enough to prevent it from happening in the first place. Now, imagine how much worse the situation in Lower Manhattan would have been had that guy had access to the kinds of weapons that the people in Texas or Colorado or Nevada had. It would have been so much worse. But because it's a little bit harder, not much harder, but a little bit harder, that was enough. Now, it's still a horrible thing what this person did, but you know, it's so much worse when you can't stop them, when you can't identify what's going on, when the person is outgunning the cops and all authorities. That's a special kind of hell.
Yeah. Yeah, it's yeah, you got to reduce the amount of firepower and slow these things down and again, and have a sort of a uniform or at least consistency with gun sales and where and how people can acquire these tools, because it's wrong people's hands, it can be deadly and in short order. And it's very you know, again, like, I respect people's you know, grief and that process is going to take time, and I understand that this took place in a religious a house of worship. Mm-hmm. and that's a community that relies on that heavily and will in the future. But I think that we also need to take a practical look at the way these things are playing out consistently, repeatedly, the patterns we're seeing. It's predictable. We're able to see a rate of them. Like, we're able to anticipate that, you know, we're talking about it like it's the weather.
Mm-hmm.
So and if, you know, we can't, I just feel like it's good, I think, spiritually to find that, but it isn't exactly how you take the evidence from an investigation and apply it to society and learn those lessons. I think you know, this is yet another case that is going to contribute to good gun legislation that will probably be shot down, pun intended.
It's not even going to come to to a vote.
It won't actually even get discussed. It won't get a chance. As we've said, we're not even getting, there isn't even a possibility to talk about it on all the way up to the executive.
Yeah, but if somebody from a different country does something, right away legislation is passed to affect people that have absolutely nothing to do with that, and wouldn't have prevented this in the first place. So it's this incredible contradiction and hypocrisy that we see over and over again. And the thing is, you know, until we as people do something about it, we cannot expect our elected representatives to do anything about it, because they're in the pockets of the NRA, they're in the pockets of you know, the big gun industry. They're afraid. They are afraid of opposing those people, and they're not going to take that for. There will be a few people that do it, but they're outnumbered. Until people start seeing, yeah, this is not how we should be living our lives. This is not right.
Yep.
And when you think about what it is that that people are talking about now, they're talking about responsible ownership, like the guy who pursued the shooter in Texas. You know, people like that, man. If people like that were the only ones that had access to immediate access to weapons, what would we have to worry about? You know, responsible people that keep their guns in safe places, that know what they're doing, that take courses, that teach courses. That's, you know, that to me, you know, that's on the order of Switzerland, of countries overseas where people have weapons, or they're encouraged to have weapons just to protect themselves against a fascist government or all kinds of things. But it's the training. The training is what matters here, rather than just handing out guns like it's candy. That's something we have to get away from. How anyone can stand up to that and say, yeah, this is what we want. This is the kind of world we want where basically anybody can carry anything they want because that's what the Founding Fathers wanted. It's not what the Founding Fathers wanted. Trust me. Read the Constitution. Read the amendments. You can interpret things in all different ways, but I think the same way to interpret what was meant by the Second Amendment is basically you have the right to defend yourself as a well-organized militia from tyranny. And that's what it was really all about. Apply that to today's world, and I think the people that are in charge now would have more to fear than anybody else, but you don't see it that way. Yeah, you don't hear it that way, I mean.
Yeah, and I think they're counting on their constituents to continue to hurt. Mm-hmm. As much as they support them, and blindly so, they're counting on them to continue to bear the tax burden and to deal with jobs that don't exist or persist without jobs. And that stuff, it's tangential. It's hard to draw correlations exactly, but that stuff contributes to social uncertainty, to anxiety, to people struggling. Mm-hmm. And I'm not saying it's an excuse for individuals' behavior, but it compounds it. And if people are predisposed and do have mental issues, plus this insane and just wrong amount of access, it's a deadly combination. So, it's kind of ironic that this administration and the very people that are supporting it and that are going to be, I think, disappointed by the performance of who they've supported, that is also at the same time not going to protect people from individuals who have guns. It's going to become a cyclical thing or self-fulfilling.
There are so many things we can do that at least are steps. You know, it might not be everything that people like us want, but steps that we can all agree on. What is wrong with that? For instance, people convicted of violent attacks of any sort, really. Domestic attacks, yes. That's a barometer right there. You'll find in most cases of mass shootings, there is some domestic violence involved. So somebody who is convicted of that, no guns, period. Why would you argue anything else? You know, it's you're convicted of and you might say, oh, but he might be innocent. Well, you know what? You're convicted of a crime. You're not innocent. Whether you're innocent or not, in the eyes of the law, you're not innocent. You know, prisons are filled with innocent people. I know, but they're all paying the price for not being innocent. Unfortunately, sometimes they get it wrong. Yeah, absolutely. But you can't treat every case like they got it wrong with the issue of guns. So if you're convicted of a violent crime, whether it's domestic or not, or threatening, or there's mental issues or all kinds of things that basically are attached to this kind of outbreak, then you restrict those people, and you basically follow up on it, which is something we don't do right now. That's how this guy got access to these weapons. Should never have happened. And you know, that's nobody coming taking your guns away. That's nobody basically doing all kinds of things that you think are against your constitutional rights. It's common sense. Why can't we agree on that? Even our own president does not agree that that is a good move. But he will take away rights of immigrants and all kinds of other things like that.
Yeah, yeah. And I guess we just continue to wait and see and report to you, the listener. And speaking of which, do you think we could take a phone call or two?
Yeah, we figured out what those alarms were.
Yeah, I don't know. There were a couple alarms.
I heard alarms going on. Was it because I was criticizing God? That does happen sometimes.
It's a mystery, and it's true. It does happen. The God alarm, I think, has been reset.
Uh-huh.
So,
well, our phone number is 631-632-WUSB, 631-632-9872. By the way, if you're trying to get to our website, you can't because it's down at the moment. Unfortunately, we're trying to figure out what the issue is, and hopefully it'll be back up soon. And if you're listening to us online, you figured out a way to get to us without the website, which is good. Congratulations. But right now, we are kind of operating at a disadvantage. But if you want to weigh in with opinions, with thoughts, with comments, feel free. 631-632-WUSB. I know a couple of weeks ago we had a call from a listener from decades ago from one of my other shows here who was admitted that he had voted for Trump. And you know what? I'd like to hear from people who voted for Trump because, you know, we have things to talk about. I don't believe in dismissing people out of hand. And I hope they don't believe in dismissing us out of hand. We need to have conversations about these issues right now, and see you know, if we can reach some kind of common ground. You know, would be nice. Otherwise, it's just going to be nothing. Just people battling each other, and you know, it keeps getting worse. And unless we are actually communicating. It's not going to improve.
Yeah, I mean, despite, I think, our dissatisfaction, we would like to see some good things happen. Some good come of the time our federal government spends doing whatever our federal government does, okay? Mm-hmm. So, and that, whether you believe in big, small government, medium government, inside-out government, no government, you know, it is our country and our society, and we share a vision for it to persist, a vision for people to be happy and healthy.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's things that other people in our communities, maybe that don't agree with us all the time, can make an exception on. But here, you know, we're happy to hear you out, and again, you know, it's just a discussion, just a conversation, and we would like to hear from you. So, 631-632-9872, we'll take your calls. We're going to be on the air for just a couple more minutes tonight, and please make a contribution. This is Radiothon season. We only have it a couple times every year here at Stony Brook, and this is that time. So,
but here's the thing. I don't think there's anybody answering phones inside.
That's right.
And the phone number to call, though, if someone is answering phones, is 631-632-6901.
That's right.
That's the pledge line. I would say go to the website, but the website, WUSB.FM, is not up.
Sadly, so it's true.
I don't know just come by and give us money.
Just set aside some coins and then get a money order and then somehow get that to the station. I don't know. Make up a clever way to contribute in spite of the traditional ways being unavailable.
Do we have a short code yet here? You know,
that would be cool. They're expensive, but that would be cool. An SMS short code to donate, but I don't think we have one.
Okay. Well, you know, we're going to figure out ways that you can donate money to us.
That's maybe we'll dispatch squirrels to have a coffee can downstairs or something.
Wow. So yeah, mass shootings and terrorist attacks. Well, look. I know that the strict definition of terrorism means that there has to be political motive. Now, you can say gun ownership is a political motive, but that probably isn't going to fly. So why don't we just compromise on this and agree that all these things, the mass shootings, the driving trucks into people, regardless of who does it, they are something known as terror attacks, not terrorism, but terror. And attacks, because they are attacks and they're filled with terror. And that way we're equating the two things as very, very similar, which they are. Ask the victims, you know, does it hurt any less if you get run over by a truck or mowed down by a gun? You know, it doesn't matter what the source is. It's still an act of terror and it should be treated as such. They should all be treated as the same basic horror, whether it comes from, you know, somebody who lived here all their lives, or somebody who moved here 5 years ago, and snapped in some other way. It's all unhealthy. It all needs to be stopped.
Yeah,
but, you know, you can tell. You can tell by the coverage, you know, that, you know, white guy did this because you're not seeing all kinds of calls for keeping people like that away. And you're hearing things about how what a nice guy he was. You know, what do you know about the guy who drove the Home Depot truck? We don't know what kind of music he enjoyed. We don't know, you know, how he worked with orphans or did all kinds of other things. But they always humanize the shooters, though. I'm sure you know, if there's any good that comes out of the guy from Texas, you'll hear about it. We heard all kinds of good things about the guy from Las Vegas who killed more people than anybody.
Or how good he had it.
Yeah. And you know, the other thing that really gets me about all this, and this is just, it stuns me, that the people, the victims, and there are hundreds of victims in Las Vegas.
Yeah.
And there are victims from Sunday shooting in Texas as well. These people will be struggling to pay their medical bills because they were shot by a crazed lunatic. I just, you know, I am floored by this, that we expect them to pay a penny after being a victim of some lunatic with a gun. That should not be the case, ever.
Yeah, that should be like NRA should pay that, or whatever gun manufacturer it was.
It just should be covered as...
Or they split it between the ammunition and the gun.
As a human being, you should not be expected to be further inconvenienced and victimized by medical bills. I mean, think what we're saying here. We're saying that in this country, you know, with our hostility towards healthcare, we are expecting people to be able to afford to be shot by a lunatic. And if you can't afford to be shot by a lunatic and pay your medical bills, well, that's too bad.
Too bad.
Too bad. What kind of craziness is this? Come on, people. We have to wake up and say, no, this is not right. You know, this isn't... Everybody who gets shot by a crazed lunatic should become a millionaire instantly, I think. There should be a fund that just pays people right away if that happens to you. You know, it doesn't make things any better, but at least it doesn't add more insult to injury. It's madness. It's just incredible,
you know,
madness.
This kind of reminds me. I saw a commercial for a mattress company that they're running, and it's got a vet in it, and, you know, Big ups, shout out to all the vets, but like, he's talking about how he can sleep on one side, and he's got all the shrapnel in him, and I'm like, what? This is a selling point for a mattress now? You're going to capitalize on the war that this person
really?
Was in.
That's, yeah. I mean, you know, I'm glad people who have shrapnel in them are able to find a comfortable mattress.
Yeah.
But really, that is the reality of life now, that... That's, there are so many people walking around with shrapnel in them. And you know, you see ads for people, artificial limbs and things like that. It's like, yeah, okay, this is horrible. It should never have happened, but we have to make sure it never happens again.
But we're getting really good at developing that technology because of our experience in war. Think about that.
Oh, boy.
Like, what is that?
Uh-huh.
Why is that normal? Why do I feel good for this soldier and want to myself get a mattress?
And you know, a vet coming back that has shrapnel should not be paying for a mattress.
No.
Everything should be covered for these people that went over there on false pretenses, had their whole lives messed up as a result. Many of them didn't come back at all. There needs to be a price that you pay, you know, that gets paid to you for having to go through that hell.
No, instead... He's doing a deal with the mattress company so he can afford his life.
And the mattress company is making money by basically targeting these people and getting some nice publicity as a result.
I thought Wounded Warrior was, you know, out, you know, corrupt or out, you know, or you know, I don't want to, I'm not slandering them. No, I'm sure they're great people. There's no controversy, fellow nonprofit and all. But like, you gotta watch out for this stuff. Like, it is. Just it's so slick, and mm-hmm. and it becomes something we're conditioned to accept as normal.
It's not normal. People, you have to keep saying this, and this is what worries me the most about what we've seen so far in the last. Well, it's been a year. Oh, today's election day. Oh my God, I forgot to vote.
I voted.
You got your ballot through the mail.
I voted absentee.
From Washington State, you got your ballot, and you get to do that.
Yep.
And you get to go through all these, a lot of referendums, right? You always get referendums.
Oh, yes.
We barely get any. But no, I totally, it's an off-year election. And Oh, I feel so stupid now. But we still have 2 hours. We're going to the polling place afterwards.
That'll be fun.
Yeah, it's in the back of a 7-Eleven. It's been a year since. I mean, tomorrow I think is or is it today? It was the day before 9/11. If you reverse the dates like the rest of the world does, so it was 11/8. Today is 11/7. So the day after was 11/9, i.e., the other 9/11, the day we all realized that Trump just got elected. So it's been a year since that happened, and what I'm seeing, and this is what I was talking about at the beginning of the show, what I'm seeing is people basically accepting a lot of things they should not be accepting. And we have to keep saying this is not normal. We have to keep fighting back and resisting as much as possible and not simply saying this is how things are now. We're going to cut these social programs and we're going to have to pay so much more for basic human rights, and we're going to hate these people, and we're going to accept Nazis walking down the street now. And no, you have to fight back as strongly as day one. And you can see that it makes a difference just based on the reaction that that the ruling party now has in response to that. The fact that they are so bent out of shape by anybody that questions them means that they're very sensitive to these issues. And the harder we hit them, the weaker they become. And we, you know, obviously it drains us over time, but we have to keep going. We have to, you know, back each other up. And that's another thing that we're not good at. We need to back each other up, even if we don't agree on everything. You know, people say things that might be politically incorrect. Okay, deal with it. You know, if we're on the same side for this, it doesn't matter. You know, we're stronger when we're together. And, you know, purges are not a healthy thing.
Those are details you can sort out when sanity prevails. But that is not the moment we're living through.
No, not at all.
You've had your chance, everyone. Tell us what is so great about our country about 9-10 months in.
Yeah, we have to start our closing theme now because
I'm afraid
we can still take a phone call while the closing theme is playing, but we only have a couple of minutes left. I know people are afraid. They think there'll be retribution from the Gestapo, and yeah, you know, there will be, but it's still, you know, the shows are archived, and, you know, your voice will live on forever, long after you've been imprisoned in a cold cell. You know, it's something that, you know, we basically, I don't hear the theme, Kyle.
It would be something that you could look back on and feel good about having participated in. I mean, you'd be able to know that when you had the chance to speak, you gave it a go, but
I hear the theme now. Our phone number is 631-632-9872, 631-632-WUSB. The theme's a little loud there, but yeah, that's good. That's good. Last chance anybody has anything to say, but you're only going to have a few seconds to say it. It's just too bad because we open the phone line so much. And well, I know our website is down, and a lot of people listen to us over the website, so there's that as well. If you haven't voted yet and you're in the United States, by all means, get out there and vote while you can. That's a phone call.
Oh, there's a phone call.
Why don't you grab that one? Make sure that...
hey, how's it going? You're on Off the Wall. You're on Off the Wall now.
Press the right button. Go ahead.
Hello?
How you doing? I just talked to you guys last week. Kind of saying it's not wise to go out there and get yourself locked up protesting. And that's not necessarily where my heart is, but I did just come for voting. But I think it's wiser to use your brain and try and do it a more creative way, or in a way that they not necessarily know that you're doing it, if you will. And that, you know, in its own way is hacking their system. But let me turn this radio down. I know I don't have much time, but let's do it right.
Okay.
Well,
my heart is where it belongs, and that's part of what Off the Wall and the Off the Hook crew is. Our hearts are where they belong. And you can call people hackers. I'm not a big techie. I know a little stuff, but
here's the thing. Okay, just getting out there and protesting is not going to get you locked up. That's a myth that keeps getting reemphasized. Lots of times, that is how you find more people that agree with you. You know, if you're just out there holding a sign, a lot of people are going to see what you're doing. You break windows and turn over cars, okay, you're going to get the attention of law enforcement. yeah, sometimes people get locked up for doing absolutely nothing, but that should never be a reason to shy away from getting out there and being heard.
Yeah.
Right. Well, doing and getting being heard, I think, is important. But I think doing it in a higher security way is more advantageous.
Like, give us an example of what that would be.
I can't. They'll lock me up.
Well, I think we have to get past that and just be out there. And, you know, imagine if 10,000 of us were out there at the same time. It would be a lot harder to come after those people. Anyway, we're going to have to leave it there because we're out of time. Our email address is otw@2600.com. I want to thank people for listening, for writing.
And me for engineering.
And thank you, Kyle, for engineering. Thank you, everybody who is voting. And hopefully I'll be able to get in and do that myself.
Good night.
Do you want to become tobacco-free? Please call the New York State Smokers Quit Line at 1-866-NY-QUITS. That's 1-866-697-8487 to learn how you can become tobacco-free. Here on Long Island, we are supported by the Suffolk County Department of Health Learn to Be Tobacco-Free Cessation Programs. We also host on campus, for students only, tobacco cessation workshops. To register with Suffolk County, please call 631-853-2928 to learn more about workshops here on campus, students only. Kindly contact Kathleen Valerio, health educator, at 631-632-6689 and learn how you can become tobacco-free here at Stony Brook University, where we offer students no-cost nicotine replacement products and workshops to help you as you work towards a tobacco-free life.
The planting of trees means improved water quality, resulting in less runoff and erosion. This allows more recharging of the groundwater supply. Wooded areas help prevent the transport of sediment and chemicals into streams.
Trees can boost the market value of your home by an average of 6 or 7%. Landscaping, especially with trees, can increase property values as much as 20%.
The net cooling effect of a young, healthy tree is equivalent to 10 room-size air conditioners operating 20 hours a day.
Did you know trees can add value to your home, help cool your home and neighborhood, break the cold winds to lower your heating costs, and provide food for wildlife? So plant a tree. It will help you and everyone else.
This message brought to you by the students of Murphy Junior High School.
kids, this is Finn. This is Finn's Revolution back on the air this week. A fantastic Zapathon last week. Really, really loved it. Thank you for everyone who called and pledged for Zapathon. And you can still call tonight, 631-632-6901. But in just a few moments, Mr. Raj Tawney, one of our favorite human beings, shall be on to talk about the Gold Coast Film Festival. Stay tuned. Yeah, kids, make sure you get out there and vote today. Vote, vote, vote. You only have a couple hours left. Vote. Get out in that rain.
We live in a political world. Love don't have any place. We're living in times where men commit crimes and crime don't have a face. We live in a political world. Icicles hanging down. Wedding bells ringing, angels singing, clouds cover up the ground. We live in a political world. Wisdom is thrown into jail. It rots in a cell, misguided as hell, leaving no one to pick up the trail. We live in a political world where mercy walks the plank. Life is in mirrors, death disappears up the steps until the mirror is blank. There's no one.
cost me too much money, and it probably ain't enough to get me through election day. Didn't I hear you say, it's all right, it's all right, it's all right. No, it wouldn't weigh a thing, it's hardly worth your time. My luck's been bad, the telephone just kept my only dime, and there might be a burglary. Why don't you just go and see? Be all right, be all right, be all right. Didn't I hear you say, it's alright, it's alright.